What's up, everyone? My name's Tom Davies, and welcome to episode 3 of the Simplify the Game podcast. Today I'd like to talk about mindful eating, and this covers quite a range of different topics, which goes from understanding the difference between low-calorie dense foods and high-calorie dense foods. We'll explain a bit about what they are and how to incorporate both into your diet. There's no such things as good and bad foods. There's just foods which should be eaten in moderation and foods which you don't necessarily need to, like, for example, fruits and vegetables, where you should be eating them in large quantities because they're rich in vitamins and minerals and all these kinds of good things. And then also trigger foods. So what are trigger foods? What can you do to limit their impact on your nutrition plan, on your diet? How you can still enjoy these foods, but understanding what they mean for your nutrition plan. And also conscious and unconscious decisions around food. For me, one of the most important things, firstly, to consider with mindful eating is the decisions that you make around food, making sure that they are conscious choices and that you understand what the implications are, what the impact of those choices are to you, your progress against your goal, and your overall sort of dietary adherence to your plan. I think there's a few cases where typically we make unconscious choices about food. And these are usually during stress situations or scenarios where you are under more stress. And so your mind is taken away from making a conscious choice about what you're doing. For example, and I think a really good example of this is in an office environment, especially where I work, there is a culture where, for example, either like at Christmas, people will bring in those big tubs of sweets. They bring in boxes of sweets, all kinds of chocolates and biscuits and things. And then also on someone's birthday, the culture is that that person brings in cakes for everyone. So cream cakes, donuts, cookies, like all of the good stuff. And when you're in a stressful situation like being at work, perhaps you've got a day full of meetings. In between meetings, someone comes to you and they're like, oh, it's my birthday. I've brought in some cakes. They're just over there. If you'd like to have one, you know, help yourself. And it's really easy to make that unconscious choice and think, oh, yeah, cake, fancy a cake. Cream cake, yeah, that sounds great. Cookie, yeah, where are they? And before you know it, you have consumed probably a couple of hundred extra calories, which you hadn't accounted for at the start of the day. They're not part of your nutrition plan. And whilst single instances of that aren't, you know, necessarily a bad thing, they're not going to completely trash all of the progress you've made. It's important to understand that if you were to repeat that behavior a number of times, perhaps throughout the week or the month, then eventually it does have an impact on your diet. Another important note and side point is that I wholeheartedly don't think that you should cut any particular food out completely from your diet necessarily. As long as you understand the impact that any particular food, for example, a cookie or a cream cake, has on your nutrition for the rest of the day or the week, then it's, you know, perfectly fine to include these kinds of things on an occasional basis within your diet. Back to our scenario, someone's birthday at work, they've brought in some cakes. It's important not to feel pressurized or to feel like you have to have one. That's fine. You know, you shouldn't chastise yourself. You shouldn't make yourself feel bad for wanting a cream cake or a little treat during the day. But like I say, it's making that conscious choice around it and not just in between meetings, sort of between trying to do different pieces of work. You go over and have a donut. And in some instances, you could even blow a day's progress if you were to decide, well, I've had a donut now at 2 o'clock, so, you know, the rest of the day doesn't matter. But it's important to understand that it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to have an all or nothing approach like that. And as a more balanced and sustainable approach, you can incorporate those kinds of foods into your nutrition plan without completely ruining your day. So ways to deal with this scenario, I've found myself that, you know, you can thank the person for bringing them in. You can say congratulate them on it being their birthday. They come over. Hey, how's it going? It's my birthday. I've brought in some cakes. If you like one, they're just over there. Feel free to help yourself, kind of thing. You can say, well, happy birthday. Thank you very much. I might get one in a bit. And most frequently, they're not going to come back or put any pressure on you, generally speaking. If you've made the conscious choice that you don't want one, that's a nice way of, you know, saying it. I think there's some scenarios where you get a different kind of response and you get a pressure response where someone says, oh, it's only a bit of cake. Why are you being so boring? Why not have a piece? And it's at that point when I think it's created an emotional response where, you know, it's important to think carefully about what you want to do. I think it's perfectly fine to say to the person, you know, look, I'm not being boring. I just don't really fancy one. It's important to, if you've made that conscious choice that you don't want to have something, not to then get swayed by them saying, oh, you're boring. Have a cake. Relax already. Why are you being so strict with yourself? And, you know, saying back that I'm not being super strict. I do allow myself these things, but I just don't really fancy one right now is, you know, a good strategy to use. Like I said before, I don't think there should be any good or bad foods, but more there's foods that you'd want to eat in a more controlled quantity. So, for example, donuts or, you know, cakes in general or biscuits, whatever, any of those kinds of things. As we'll get onto in a sec, they are higher calorie dense foods. So for a given calorie target, you'd be able to, you know, include less of them and stay within that target. But including them is in some ways quite important, because if you are denying yourselves foods that you enjoy, perhaps they're not, you know, generally accepted as clean foods or diet foods, then I think you can create a craving around them. You can create this negative relationship with food, which I think is really important to avoid. And so you don't have this, you know, constant thought about, oh, I really fancy a biscuit, because eventually your willpower is going to fail and you will eat a box of biscuits or a box of donuts. And then you really will have potentially wrecked a fair amount of progress that you've made towards your goal. So it's important that you can create a healthy and a happy relationship with food, positive relationship with food. So you understand when you do get a craving that you don't always, so sometimes there will be scenarios where you don't want to indulge that craving just because perhaps you've indulged another craving earlier in the week or another part of the week. So you want to try and limit yourself a bit more. But for the most part, it's important to have a positive relationship with food and don't necessarily always have a, you know, a blanket, no, I'm not having any of that kind of food for this month, this 6 months, whatever. Because I think you can create negative stigmas around certain foods and then a kind of binge. You can get to like the weekend and then have a binge on all the foods that you haven't allowed yourself for 2 weeks. And then that doesn't help anyone. So for me, another key point with the work-based scenario is having that conscious choice and understanding that you could have a cream cake at work. I kind of prefer to wait until I'm in a more relaxed environment, so I'm at home and I can really fully enjoy the treat or enjoy that kind of that high calorie food, because when I'm at work, I'm probably between meetings, I'm trying to do emails, perhaps someone comes to my desk or phone calls, all these kinds of things. And that means that, you know, you're trying to inhale a cream cake really fast, and before you know it, you haven't really enjoyed it. You didn't even really taste it that much. But then you've eaten all of those calories. You consumed all of those calories. And, you know, if you think about it, you didn't really enjoy it that much. Making that conscious choice that you are going to allow yourselves these foods every now and then, but then wait until you're in an environment where you can fully enjoy them. For example, when you go out for a nice meal, you have a dessert to go with it. Or if you're cooking at home, maybe you buy a dessert at the weekends and you enjoy it at home. When you're nice and relaxed and chilled out, you haven't got other things to distract you or, you know, other things on your mind necessarily. So in a way, the value you get out of having that treat is greater because you've got that much more time to enjoy it. And I think that's important. I think if you mindlessly or make unconscious choices about the foods that you eat, you don't necessarily always get the full value out of them. And this kind of segues quite well into high calorie and low calorie dense foods. Last week I talked about calories, how you have a calorie target for the day, where this includes a deficit. That's your, you know, your target for how many calories you need to eat in a particular day to lose weight. And then this comes from a mixture of different foods. Ideally you want, you know, good protein sources, carbohydrates, fats, all that kind of good thing. And I feel like there's two broad ranges of food. So you've got the low calorie dense foods, you know, like your vegetables, some fruits, lean protein sources, and then higher calorie dense foods, which is foods that are higher in fat. If you're talking about more processed foods, then cookies and donuts, but also just higher fat based foods. So like your nut butters or nuts and things like this. So the way we describe these is you've got your daily calorie target. And if you were to include a lot of higher calorie dense foods, you're going to get to your target a lot quicker than if you were to eat lower calorie dense foods. For example, if you wanted to include a lot of higher fat foods, then because fat is 9 calories per gram, you've got twice as many calories there per gram as you have for carbohydrates, like we've talked about. And that means those higher calorie dense foods, you're not going to be able to fit as many of those within your daily calorie goal as lower calorie dense foods. But an important point to note is that you should really have a blend between them. You should have a mix of different kinds of foods, and it's not really a case of cutting out all of the high calorie dense foods and having only low calorie dense foods. It's about having a mixture. It's about creating a nice balance. And like I've said, it's about having a positive relationship with food, understanding what the choices mean, making conscious choices, and creating a balanced nutritional plan. Another good example of unconscious eating or mindless choices is if you think about the process when perhaps you make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and you feel like having a biscuit with it, except what you do is you switch the kettle on and you reach for the biscuits in or the packet of biscuits and you take them with you into the lounge. And there what you've done instead of sitting there with a couple of biscuits is you've smashed the whole pack without even necessarily really thinking about it. Once the pack's open, I'm guilty of this quite a bit. Once the pack's open, it's gone, it's game over. So here it's really understanding the process that you're undertaking and the choices that you're making whilst you're doing it to understand how to create a more mindful choice and how you can change it. The process to go through is to understand what the behavior or process is, understand what the triggers for it are, and then how you can adjust to make a more conscious choice so that you don't create either a negative relationship with food, or you don't cause a lack of progress or a regression of progress even. So let's look back at the process. So what you're doing, you're putting the kettle on, and perhaps that's the trigger in your mind. You think, okay, making a cup of tea, making a coffee, where's the biscuits? Maybe you like to dunk them, you know, whatever. It's all good. There's no judgment here. You switch the kettle on, like I say, tea bags in the mug or coffee granules, whatever, however. And so instead of maybe reaching for the biscuit tin and just taking it with you, taking the packet of biscuits with you, how about if instead you got out a small plate and you put 2, maybe 3 biscuits on the plate, you put the packet back or you put the tin away. And then once you finish making your brew, you take that into the lounge or wherever with you and you sit down, and then you've got a finite number in front of you. You've had a little treat, you've had it with your cup of tea, you've enjoyed it. Once you've had those 2 or 3, in order to get any more, instead of just reaching over to the packet and grabbing them, you would need to get up, go all the way into the kitchen or wherever, get the packet out again and get some more. Now, whilst that's not necessarily a great deal of effort, that does require more conscious choices to be able to get more biscuits, basically. You're creating actions that you need to think about before you can indulge more. So whereas if you've got the packet with you, you don't need to think about it. It's just there, it's on the table. You can, you know, open one, even especially if you're watching TV and you're focused on the TV and you're not focused on what you're eating or what you're doing. And it's very, very easy just to cane through the biscuits. I know, I've been there. You know, I do it every now and then still. And really understanding, identifying that this is what you're doing is the first stage to creating a more conscious choice about it. So hopefully with that little tip, just a really simple kind of change that you could make that can help you to make a more mindful decision about that particular scenario. And this goes on quite well to another topic I wanted to talk about within the mindful eating arena, which is trigger foods. You may or may not have heard that phrase before. I think it's a really good phrase and it sums up really accurately what the issue is, what the thing to identify is, and how to make a more conscious choice about a particular type of food. So a trigger food is a food where you can't just eat 1 or 2. If you've got them in the house, you're going to eat them all. It's a food where you really enjoy it. It's one of your favourite foods, perhaps. And it feels like if you have them, you can't control yourself and you just eat and eat and eat and eat until they're all gone. For me, I really enjoy Oreos and custard creams. For my partner, actually, it's Doritos. So a bit of a difference there. But the trend is, as you can tell, high calorie dense foods, because obviously they've got a lot of fats and a lot of sugar in. So when you're eating them, you're getting, you know, those kind of dopamine hormone responses. You're making your brain feel good. And because it's high calorie dense, you're getting those good signals in the brain. Yeah, for me, Oreos, can't get enough of them. And I can appreciate that because they are a trigger food of mine. It's important for me to limit the number of times that they are available to me so that I don't have to make a conscious choice around not eating too many. Again, it's important to create a positive relationship with food and not to necessarily completely avoid a particular food, especially if it's something that you enjoy. Because every now and then, it's just not an issue. Like, you can indulge in something not too heavily. Let's not go mental. But at the same time, I'm not going to completely deny myself something that I like just because it's not a clean food, for example. I think it's a good starting point to understand what your trigger foods are. I'm sure everyone's got one or two. And the easiest way to avoid them is just not buying them. So we just don't buy foods like that frequently. It means they're not in the house. If they're not in the house, I'm not thinking about them. Whereas if I know we've got them in, then I'm thinking about them and I'm having to make conscious choices and conscious decisions not to go to the biscuit drawer, not to pick them out and not to eat them all. Whereas if they're not in the house, then I'm not thinking about them. Unless perhaps in the scenario where maybe you have avoided them for a number of weeks and then you're kind of thinking about them because they're becoming a bit of a craving. So then I try and limit the number of times we have them in, and you know, that means that I can't eat them. Another point to do with understanding trigger foods is willpower and understanding that it is a finite thing. We are only human. We don't have infinite willpower. We're not able to necessarily resist something forever and ever. We're not able to necessarily stick to a strict path for a long period of time. You know, we're going to deviate. We're going to make emotional choices and we're going to respond to things in an emotional way. So trying to limit yourself from having something for 6 months, perhaps a long period of time, isn't going to be creating, like I say, a positive relationship with food, but also with only a finite amount of willpower, eventually you would break down and then binge on something because you haven't had it for so long. You haven't allowed yourself it. And then when you finally do, you kind of go crazy. And then also the thing with willpower is, if we take the example of a trigger food, let's say I go to the supermarket tomorrow, I pick up, I don't know, a couple of packets of Oreos and they're now in the drawer. When I've got home, I've decided, no, you shouldn't eat those tonight. Maybe you haven't been to the gym, but you know they're there. And then you come home from work the next day, you're a little bit tired and you've been making decisions throughout the day, so your willpower's lower. You make a cup of tea and you have a couple of biscuits, except you don't. You don't just have one, you have a bunch. And now perhaps you have, in a not too difficult scenario to imagine, you have lost your calorie deficit for the day. And, you know, if you went on a really big binge, you could nullify your whole calorie deficit for the week and, you know, zero your progress for that week. If you are forcing yourself to make conscious choices frequently, then you can reduce your willpower that much quicker and eventually fail. Whereas if you allow yourself small, conscious and understood, not breaks, but like allow yourself to have those higher calorie dense foods every now and then, you're not breaking down your willpower to the point where, you know, you just have to eat something. You are allowing yourself it. You are enjoying it when you're having it. And then you're getting back on it. This is the, you know, the kind of balanced relationship with food, the positive relationship. You understand that a cream cake has a bigger impact on your daily nutrition than a chicken salad. But you understand that you can have both. And you know that, you know, you don't have to cut one out completely and you have to only have everything that's clean. An interesting case to consider when we talk about making conscious choices and not necessarily cutting out particular types of food is when you think about going out for dinner. So you go out for dinner with your partner or friends or something, maybe colleagues from work. You're looking to go for a nice meal for any particular reason or just because. If you were on a really strict plan, if you were restricting yourself to only certain types of foods, then you're going to come unstuck. You're going to create a really stressful experience if you're going out for meals as well and trying to enjoy yourself, because you're going to worry about what can you eat off the menu. Are they going to cook it the way you would cook it at home? Is there going to be a lot of fat in it? Is it going to be a creamy sauce? All these kinds of things. And that means whilst you're out, you're worrying too much about what you're eating. You're not enjoying the company of the people around you. And then you just don't enjoy the meal either, because you're too worried about doing another hour's worth of cardio the next day to eat off all that food you've consumed. But there are strategies you can put in place that mean you don't have that negative relationship and you don't necessarily worry about it. You can enjoy those situations and still make progress. Being mindful of the choices that you make over the course of a day, over the course of a week, means that you don't have to be crazy strict and you can still enjoy social scenarios. One of the ways you can do this on the actual day, perhaps you're going out, hopefully, you know, it's not too spur of the moment and you have some advance warning. So if you know a couple of days ahead, or, you know, on that day, perhaps you consume fewer calories in your breakfast and lunch meals. Perhaps you make them a little bit smaller, or you cut out a snack or two during the day, and then you've got those extra calories as a buffer for the meal you have in the evening. You've understood that you're going out for a meal in the evening. You know that you don't want to completely ruin all of your progress that you've made so far. You've worked really hard for it. Why should you? Why should you not be able to go out as well? And you've created this buffer of calories so that the impact of the meal you're having later, you don't know how many calories it's going to be. In all likelihood, it is going to be cooked in a different way to what you would do at home. It won't be a lean cooked meal, probably. There's obviously different variants to that with different types of restaurant. So restaurant choice can come into it. But let's assume that you are going for a curry, for example, or your restaurant choice wasn't down to you. Chances are it's going to be a higher calorie meal than perhaps what you would normally have in an evening. And maybe you're going to have a couple of drinks. If it's a school night, maybe not. But, you know, never know. Earlier in the day, you understand that you're going out later. You've made a conscious choice that you want to enjoy it, but you don't want to ruin your progress. So you eat fewer calories in the morning because you're going to enjoy them in the evening. Or another method, you can, if you know it's going to be a really big weekend, for example, perhaps it's a couple of days where you're going away with friends. And this can work for going on holiday as well. Perhaps you have a long weekend away with some friends or family. And for maybe the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up to it, you eat fewer calories, so you're creating a buffer. It's going to be a larger buffer because you want to, you know, create that buffer for the whole weekend. If you know that that weekend is maybe going to be more off plan, it alleviates some of the stress and some of the worry that you might have around the foods that you can eat. I mean, again, it doesn't give you carte blanche to just go crazy, but it can help you to buffer the effects of a weekend away. You can still enjoy it, but you're not cutting yourself out of that social situation where you're enjoying food with friends, with family, and going out having a couple of drinks. And I think this is a really pretty powerful strategy. It can help you have a more sustainable approach to a nutrition plan and dieting, because you aren't restricting yourself away from going out for food. You aren't being too strict with yourself and saying, you know, you can't eat any of those foods. In some populations, for some people where you're looking to get on stage, get on super, super lean for a photo shoot or something like this, then perhaps you do need to go that far. Perhaps you do need to restrict yourself in, you know, some of the final weeks of preparation for a show to try and get that lean. But for general populations, for people who are looking to lose a bit of weight for a wedding, for general health reasons, to be happier with themselves, then there's really no need to be super strict with yourself, to be cutting out foods that you enjoy and cutting out foods in social situations, going out for dinners and things. It's really about making mindful choices, understanding what those choices mean towards your goal for the progress that you want to make, and then measuring and managing the impact of them so that you're creating this, you know, as I've mentioned, positive relationship with food. A sort of theme that I've carried through a few of these podcasts as well is dietary adherence and how important dietary adherence is to your long-term goal. Again, this is relevant to this topic. If you are creating that relationship where you are denying yourself certain foods and creating that craving in your mind and go through sort of a diet and binge cycle where Monday to Friday you're dieting really hard, you're being super good, and you're not allowing yourself anything outside of your plan or outside of a certain food type, then on the weekend you go crazy, you binge, you eat 12 Krispy Kreme donuts, and we've all been there, and a few beers, and you've trashed a week's progress. Not only have you trashed a week's progress, but your dietary adherence is up and down all over the place. It's like a yo-yo. You haven't got the all-important consistency, and you are going in and out of the strict dieting phases and binges. Whereas if you create a more positive relationship, a more mindful relationship with the choices that you make around food, you can allow yourselves these things, perhaps little treats, still have meals out and things. But because you understand the impact they have, your dietary adherence is that much greater, because it doesn't feel like you've got 12 weeks where you can't touch a biscuit, you can't even sniff one, because if you do, you'll eat 4 packets and then it's game over. If you've got that understanding, then you can still enjoy them foods, and you know your dietary adherence is still at 90%. You're still smashing it every day. You're still eating nice, healthy, wholesome foods, but you're allowing yourself a little bit of stuff that you like that are higher calorie dense, but they don't have such a significant impact on your progress overall, because you understand how to monitor them, how to manage, and how to incorporate them in moderation. So that's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope some of these thoughts and some of these strategies help you out. If they do, I would love for you to leave me a review, some comments on the various platforms this is available on. So it goes out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and into YouTube as well. I'd love for you to get in contact with me as well. I've got a Facebook page, Simplify the Game Podcast. I've also got an Instagram account, Simplify the Game, and a email account at asktomdavies@gmail.com. Fire across any questions. I'd love to try and answer them. I've been Tom Davies, and this has been the Simplify the Game Podcast. Have a great day. Cheers.